struggles without and struggles within. We will be looking in the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians today for our lesson. We welcome you to join with us and thank you so much for tuning in to this program. I'm Brother Paul Bryson, and we're here on the Wells of Salvation each week at this same time. So if you'd like to join us each week, then we'd be most happy to have you as a listener. And also, we have a free CD that we're giving away that is entitled The Voice of God. If you'd like to have it, have your pencil and paper ready at the end of the program, and you'll be directed where to write to get this absolutely free of charge. Now, in the fifth chapter of the book of the letter to the Galatians, and that's in plural, and I might just say this for the benefit of those of you that might not know, that as these missionary journeys that Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Silas went on, they went around through an area of that was called Galatia, and they had those churches that they planted there. And so the letter, this letter especially, was sent back there because there had been some things happening that was destroying the gospel. People were trying to keep the law of Moses and be saved by just doing that. Well, you see, that was the purpose of the law of Moses, is to show us we couldn't keep that. And so that's the reason that the gospel tones, they don't condemn the law as being anything that was bad. It wasn't. It is just weak. And that's what Paul tells us in the Roman letter, that the law through the flesh was weak. And so we had to have a flesh that could obey that law, so it would take some flesh that had no sin in it, because if it had sin in it to start with, the purpose is already defeated. You don't have to be real smart to know that. But what we're looking at here is that Paul is writing these churches and telling them, you did run well, you did good, you followed this doctrine of grace. And then there were false brethren that came in telling you, you had to be circumcised and all these things, or you couldn't be saved. And to them, that seemed so reasonable. But we find Paul saying, no, that's not it. And so let's just look at this a little bit today. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, you see, Scripture, again, tells us and teaches us that the law was a yoke. That, just like if you have two oxen out here that you want to plow, then you put a yoke around them, or that's the way my father did. He would put a yoke around the neck of both of them, and they were yoked together. And so Paul is saying, the law's just, holy, and good, but don't be yoked to that as a means of salvation, because that was not the intent or the purpose of the law, but the law was pointing to Christ. And Christ did come virgin born, so his flesh had no sin in it, and he was one that could keep that law in our place. So he was the substitute that died for us. Verse 2, Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Listen at that. If you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, he's not saying that Christ wouldn't send rain on the just and the unjust. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about if you put your trust in Christ, then that's all sufficient. You don't need anything else. But if you turn around and adopt some of these things like circumcision, then that leaves Christ out of it. Do you see? A lot of people say, yeah, Christ, we want Christ, but we also want baptism or circumcision or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It's just something that won't work. Now, this is what Paul is saying. You want Christ to profit you. That's what you want. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor. Now listen to this. To do the whole law. Do you understand that? He's saying, if the teaching is that if you're circumcised the eighth day, then that puts you under obligation to do or to keep that whole law. Do you keep the law? Do you keep the whole law? You would have to confess, no, I fall short. I wish I could keep that law perfectly without any kind of a smudge on it in any way. But I just can't do it because, as the scripture said, it's through my flesh that is too weak. I just can't overcome every temptation. But God has said, I'll never put a temptation on you but what you're able to bear. And with every temptation, I'll make a way of escape. But still, we're humans and we just don't do that. So now notice this fourth verse. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you who are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now let's get this. You can read these five chapters that are behind this, and as you come through, you'll come to the same conclusion when the Bible says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And well, let me read verse 11 of chapter 3. But that no, well, let's go back up to 10. For as many are is of the works of the law are under the curse. You mean to live, try to live under that law that you're under a curse? Yes. Cursed, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the law, book of the law, to do them. But that no man, that's you too, is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for, this is quoting old scripture, the just, or those who have been justified, shall live by faith. Or by faith shall the just live. You see, he is chopping off these works of the flesh. And the law is not of faith. That we didn't get faith from the law. It didn't come that way. Don't have time to go into it now, but he said, the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us, which means brought us back from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Do you see that Paul is saying there was a substitute? It was Christ that became a curse for us. He died under the curse of the law, because the law had said anyone, everyone that did not perfectly keep the law was condemned to death. So that's a curse. And then also it will tell us that cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. How did Jesus die? He died on a tree. He was on a cross. That's where he died. He became a curse that you and I might be saved. These requirements of the law to be honored in every respect, not only the written law, but the spirit of the law. None of us could do that. And so Christ, having loved his weak creatures enough, he laid his royal robes on the throne and left it, and he stepped down into this world through the virgin's womb, and he lived a perfect life. He kept the law. He honored the law. And so in that respect, Christ could die without being under a curse because he hadn't broken any law. Now, that couldn't be said about you and I, but it could be said about Christ because it was the truth. He never sinned. He never sinned. But in order for you and I who have sinned, it was needful that that sin, the penalty of it, be paid. Well, we couldn't pay it. We were spiritually bankrupt. We had nothing. And so Christ said, yes, I'll come, I'll die. And so he did. And God showed his approval of that death by raising Jesus from the dead. And he's been taken into heaven where he sits at the right hand of God as our lawyer when the devil accuses us, as he does day and night before God. So in effect, what we are being taught in these books is that we're not under a law, but we're free from it, in the sense that that's not the requirement for our salvation. It is the requirement for our salvation if it's done in a substitute. And so Jesus was that substitute. He took our place in death. He died he paid our penalty. And so if we put our trust in that, not our works, then that's what brings honor and glory to God, is us trusting what Jesus did. And friend, I want to encourage you to do that. Just trust him. As the song says, trust and obey. For there is no other way but to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. Now, I want to point to you down a little further here in this fifth chapter of the book of Galatians. But I first need to tell you about this verse of scripture up here. The Christ, in verse 4, Christ has become of no effect on you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, does that mean that they got saved and then lost it or fell from grace? No, absolutely not. On the contrary, what he is saying here, that is backed up by all these other scriptures, is that if we try to justify ourselves before God, means no sin, we're not guilty of sin, we're pure, we're clean, and if we try to do that and say, look, God, I never have killed anybody, I never have committed adultery, I've loved you with all my heart, soul, and mind, I've honored my father and mother. Well, of course, those are pure, righteous laws. They're just laws. Unfortunately, you and I have not kept those. So if you've ever committed one sin in this life, then you're under condemnation. But you see, we were born with sin in us. You don't have to teach a child to be mean. You have to teach it to be good, because its nature is to be mean. Now, look at this. If we have tried to justify ourselves by our works, then we have fallen from grace. In other words, we are not living in the principles of grace, what grace brings. You know, it's very interesting in the book of Titus whenever he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men. Now listen, teaching us. That's what grace does. It's a teacher. It teaches us to deny ungodliness. We should live soberly and righteously in this present world. So you hear people say, oh, when you say that you believe you're kept eternally by salvation and you can just get out here and do anything, they say, you know, that's not so. Well, it's not so. I'll agree. But here's where the error is made. They are looking at the works instead of the salvation. Because if the salvation is in the heart of a person, then the Bible says we're created unto good works. The good works follow salvation. They come out. They're worked out in the life. And so you see, grace is a teacher. It teaches us to live soberly, meaning not drunk on the things of the world, and righteously. In other words, not just live in any and every way. In conjunction with what I have just said, I want you to look at verse 6, because this teaches us what I've just been talking about. He said, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision." Now let me stop there for just a second. Paul is saying, it doesn't matter whether you have been circumcised or not, because that is a work of the flesh. And it doesn't matter whether you've had it or not. It's not going to help you. And then notice, though, the remainder of the clause, he said, "But faith, which worketh by love." What a clear picture that he's showing us now. He's saying that faith that God puts in our heart that brings, you know, we get like the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, where he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." In other words, it's a gift from God. That faith to trust the work of Jesus on the cross. All right, he's saying, you don't need this other. It's faith which worketh by love. Now then, when God has put his love in our heart, then we love our neighbor. We love the things of God. We love his word. We love his church. We love everything about it. So you see, our faith works by love, not by the need to observe these laws of circumcision. Do you see that? If you can see that, then you will understand why that we are saved totally by grace. Now that becomes, though, a struggle in a Christian's life. We fall short. It worries us. We sin. We pray to God to forgive us, because we don't want to sin. But we have a faith in our heart that works by love, and that love puts our faith into action. Because James teaches us clearly that any faith without works is dead. It's not a saving faith. So you see, it balances out exactly. And that's so wonderful to me. I did want to point out to a scripture down here. I'm going to have to skip over some of these where he's talking about circumcision and the liberty that we have in Christ. But down in that 17th verse, well, let's look at verse 16. He said, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." In other words, be led by the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Now, that don't mean into some wild something, but it just means that have a burden on your heart. Pray that the Lord would put a burden on your heart and give you wisdom in His Word and how to live, so that we'll be good witnesses before a lost and dying world. Because He said, "Walk in the Spirit," listen, "and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." See, that lust of the flesh, which is sinful, it's still there. We can deny it. We can just say that's not true. It doesn't change a thing. It's still there. God is saying it's still there. Verse 17 is what I want you to see. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." So do you see, if well, let's read verse 18. "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Friends, that doctrine has been preached down through the ages. New doctrines come along and they exalt the flesh and man and leave God out of it. Because, see, if God doesn't get all the honor and all the glory, then he doesn't want any part of it. But do you see this? And Paul will tell us in the 22nd verse that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. Now, look back at the works of the flesh. He said in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, it's easy to see because it's outward. You see a man get drunk. You see people commit adultery. You see these things. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revellings, and such like. In other words, that kind of a lifestyle is exactly what he's talking about. And Paul, is when he says "and such like," he said, I could just go on and on. And he said, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now look, he's saying down here that all of these things, if that's the lifestyle, these people have not been saved because these works come out of the flesh. Whereas if you have the Spirit, if you walk in the Spirit, then you grow in the Spirit. You'll be more meek. You'll be more temperate. You'll be more able to love people and God. You'll have more joy. You'll have more peace. And you'll be long-suffering, which means to suffer long with somebody instead of flying off the handle and getting mad or angry. So do you see that the struggle that we have in this life, it's inside. We have a warfare that is going on in our hearts, and then we also have that same thing in the flesh. And these are at war one with the other. Well, let me say this. If we didn't have any sin in our flesh, then who would it fight with? Because we know the soul doesn't have any sin in it. We know that. If the flesh doesn't have sin, then who does it fight with? But we read down here where the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, and that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul, you know, in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, he said, that which I would do, I do not. That which would not do, that do I. Because sin is present with me. And then he said, in me. And to make sure that we clearly understand what he's talking about, whether it be the soul or the flesh, he said in the parentheses, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Well, that's easy to see whenever we read what he said over here about all these revellings and drunkenness and idolatry and fornication, all these things. Well, the flesh is full of it, just full of it. And we have to keep that under control. Well, we can't do it just within ourselves. If you were left with a temptation to do any one of these things, you'd fail. But God doesn't leave us that way. He said, I'll help you. I'll be there. And you trust me. You just trust in me, and I'll help you. So, you know, that was something that I learned after I'd been saved a good while, that I wasn't trusting the Lord enough. I was looking at myself, and I found myself to be a failure. And when I trusted Him, I found out that everything's okay. So that's what I want you to do. But I want those of you that are lost to think with me about your condition, that right now you're under the bondage of the law. The law has condemned you. You're condemned before God. There's no help for you. Unless you have a desire that the Holy Spirit has put in your heart to turn from your wicked ways and turn to the Lord with all your heart And he said, when you do, I will abundantly pardon. God wants to pardon you. He does not want to send you to hell. But at the end of life, if you have rejected him and the work of his son, hell's the only place for you to go. There's nowhere else. And so please get saved. We want to go to heaven with you. And listen, friend, I just got to say this before I go off there. You always think or hear people say something about how hard it is to be a Christian. Well, it's a warfare. I've just read that to you. But the joy that I get out of my salvation, it just gets more and more and more and more as the days goes by and the older I get. So I want you to be a partaker of that. God wants you to be a partaker of that. And then when this life's over, when the battle between the flesh and the spirit has ceased, you'll be received into eternal resting places in the arms of God. My mailing address to those of you that would like to write and get the free CD, it's Brother Paul, 2701. Sample, S-A-M-P-L-E, Scales, S-C-A-L-E-S, Road, Homer, H-O-M-E-R, Georgia, 30547, USA. I sure do appreciate you listening, and I want to just say this. I don't say it often enough, but all these letters we get from people who are telling us that you get saved, you tell us how you got under conviction and how that you begin to seek the Lord by praying to Him with all your heart, and that Him hearing your prayer, that you found that peace that no man can give you. It's only God can give you that peace. And we just rejoice. I can't tell you how happy we are when we believe somebody's telling us a good experience of salvation. So I want to thank you for the letters that you send telling about your salvation. And if you have truly been saved and you know it, tell us your experience, how that you come to salvation and then how you failed after the Lord had saved your soul. What a difference. Thank you so much for listening. Please join us again next week. Same time, same station. Ask your friends and neighbors to join us here again at the same time. May God richly bless you, is my prayer.